Hi golfers, I hope everyone is well. In this episode, I haven't got a special guest, but I'm actually just going to talk through my Masters experience that we had at Augusta last year. So here goes, and hopefully you enjoy the conversation. So I haven't got a script, so I could go rambling down some rabbit holes, and I do apologize. But yeah, let's see how we go. So for me, it was a wonderful experience, and you know, we planned the trip with myself and Tim with 14 members, and it was a plan for we're planning it for a year before we went. So you know, lots of time to get used to it, and that you get used to the thought of going, and then obviously exciting times to get there. So the time came when we managed to get onto the bus and go to Heathrow and catch the plane over. I've done a fair bit of traveling, so I don't mind the plane. I quite enjoy it, my chill time. But so yeah, we traveled over and we got to our hotel in good time, and it's very nice, the Hyatt place in Colombia. So we were there for a few days playing golf with members, having a good time, eating and drinking as you do. And then the first day we were going to the Masters was the Tuesday. So we got up bright and early. I think it was around 6 o'clock. We left the hotel to get there for 7 o'clock. So we got there nice and early. Obviously, the excitement, you just can't imagine, you know, so excited to get in there. And when they opened the gates, you know, in we went into Augusta. And what's interesting, the first impression of Augusta is the road that it's on, where Magnolia Lane is, it's not that special. In fact, it's pretty rough. You know, it's pretty poor, not a lot of nice places around, and just guys sort of, they close their businesses there during Augusta week or Masters week to sell their space for car parking. So you can park in the normal Masters car park, or you can pay a tenner to a dude who's in a car park, and that's what we did, so we weren't too far away. So yeah, in through the gates we went, and you know you're sort of getting into something special. You're going through security, and even the security staff, you know, are so welcoming. You know, the first thing they say, "Welcome to the Masters, sir. You have a nice day today," and like, it makes you go, "Oh, thank you," like, loving it. So every single staff, or they were called something that'll come back to me, but they were just exceptionally nice, and everyone just so pleasant. So in we went through security, no phones, obviously. On the Tuesday, we were allowed to take in a camera, which I didn't have, but the guys we were with had plenty of cameras, so that was fine. And I remember that first impression of sort of coming around the corner. It's like you don't go in Magnolia Lane, you come through the back exit. Probably a 300-meter walk from the main gate round. And the first thing I saw was the driving range. Without a sort of any exaggeration here, I actually started to weep, started crying. Like, I looked at the practice area with Tim, and we were like, oh my God. Like, Tim had been before, and I was just looking at it going, oh my God, like, that cannot be real. That grass is not real. Look at it. It was just the most perfect piece of land. It was only, you know, the range is probably 100 yards wide and 300 yards long. And then we were quite close to the short game area. First thing I remember was Robert Rock was there with Matt Wallace, I believe, and a few others. I think Molinari was there with Dave Allred. And we were sort of close to them. I remember the grass we were standing on outside of the perimeters of the range didn't even look real, that grass we were stood on. So I remember sort of kneeling down and plucking a piece of grass out of the ground. And sure enough, you know, it was definitely grass, because I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it stood on it there. So, a few minutes there just to sort of gather your thoughts, and then a short walk from there, go past the shop, and the queues for the shop, it must be an hour long. Unbelievable. You're like, crikey, why are they queuing up? Obviously to get Masters stuff. But later on, we discover why the queue's so good, because the shop is awesome. So there we walk past the shop, and, you know, you've got the food places. And like all the staff, welcome to the master, sir. You have a nice day today, and they're just loving it. So I'm not sure if we walked past, or we may have grabbed some breakfast. And then the first hole you come to this hole, and you're sort of side on, and it's in a valley, so it's like extremely steep to the left and to the right. And you're trying to rack your brains to try and think. It's obviously a golf hole, but you don't know which one it is at the Masters. And you're like, Christ, where is this? Stood there, and the massive leaderboard is there. And do you know what? I didn't know what hole it was. I'm like, Christ, what hole is it? And Tim goes, that's the first. You would never think, watching on telly, I certainly didn't, that how undulating even that first hole is. So it must go down. The first 100 yards must go down. I'm not good with my numbers here, but let's say it goes down 100 foot. Like, for aim point, it must be like a 7-8% slope. Like, it's not like a green. It is a severe downhill drop for the first 100 yards, which is where we were when you first walked up. And the next 200 yards is massively uphill. And I always remember seeing Rory hit a drive slightly right off that tee and thinking, Christ, that's a big miss. But that target on that first hole does not look big at all. But that was the first impression. So, like a big hike up to the first tee, and there we were, the clubhouse on the left, walked up, putting green. Then you see the 10th tee, you see the 18th green, you see the 9th green, and it's all there in front of you, and you can see down through the trees a few other holes, so you can vaguely see sort of Amen Corner, which, well, it must be half a mile away, so it's a long old way, but you can see right down the hill. But it's not a massive piece of land, to be fair. It's not massive. So, yeah, it was pretty cool. So I think we sort of got our bearings and walked around. And myself, Jerry, Tim and Nige said, right, come on, let's get down to Amen Corner. So, well, I'm just talking to myself, Esme. Do you mind?
Shopping.
Yeah, I'll come downstairs with you, won't it? I'm just going to talk for a couple more minutes. Is that okay?
When you're sitting on your Mac.
I am talking on my Mac. How do you know it's called a Mac? It's a computer. Mic, do you mean?
Yeah.
It's a Mac with a mic. Anyway. One second. So so myself, Jerry, Tim and Nige walked down to Amen Corner. It's quite wet, so it's not like a pleasant day, but we don't care. We're just like, you know, like Cheshire cats, smiling from ear to ear, so excited walking down there. At this time, actually, nobody had gone onto the course. It was raining that bad. I remember seeing Torbjorn was the only one on the course, and on the 15th, he teed off in front of us while we were walking down. And we got down there to the 12th tee and nobody was there. So it was literally just us four. There was other people there, but we managed to get like front row seats, get a nice picture and just stare at that 12th green from 150 yards or whatever distance it is and just stare at it. And what's pretty cool and special, nobody gets anywhere near that green. Nobody, you can't get closer to that green from 130 yards or whatever, and the 13th tee behind it, you know, nobody is there, not one person. So we had a special moment then that the four of us will always remember, I'm sure. It was just one of them, and you know, we walked around to 13 and we saw Ray's Creek, and Jerry got excited. I remember that. Seeing Ray's Creek, and it was just so perfect, the whole thing, you know, unbelievable. Anyway, so we're walking around, and I think we may have gone for a beer by this time. It was probably 9-10 o'clock in the morning, but that's what you do on special days. And the siren went off, course closed, please evacuate the place, please leave. Oh god. So anyway, so we had to walk back up this hill, which is a big old hill. Probably takes 20 minutes. It must be a mile. I don't know how long it is, but it's a big hill. So then we had to leave. So we're probably in the grounds for probably 2-3 hours. Just got there, and now we've got to leave. Oh god! So we go back to the car, and we just sit in the car, and we're sort of trying to update our phones to find out what's going on. Listening to local radio and the app, and almost a bit flat because, you know, we just got there and now we've had to be kicked out. So I think we were there for a good couple of hours in the car. like spirits were good, but like at the same time, we were just gutting that we weren't there. Anyway, a couple of hours later, we were allowed back in. In we went. And obviously golfers were back out and we got to see all the players. Saw Tiger Woods on the putting green. We managed to have a nice chat on the putting green with my friend Philip Kenyon. So Phil had just finished working with Matt Fitzpatrick and he was just waiting on the putting green for Henrik Stenson. So we had a nice 10-minute chat, myself and Tim, with Phil. And then one memory that I'll always remember is Stenson came over and he was just staggering how big and tall he was. Like he was towering over me, not alone Phil. He was a good couple of feet taller than me and 3 foot taller than Phil and Tim. So he comes over and shakes his hand and he goes, "Henrik, nice to meet you." And it was just like, hello, Henrik. Yeah, Ollie. Of course, I know what your name is. This kind of thing was going through my head. Like, why has he introduced himself? Like, I know who you are, pal. But that sort of shows how, you know, humble the man is. And he was, you know, very kind to chat to myself and Tim and Phil for 5 minutes and, you know, talk about life. And it was great. And then he said to Phil, "Come on, Phil, let's go to work." And off they went. So that was a five minutes that we'll always remember, myself and Tim. So then we went round following a few more golfers, you know, these pros. I think we walked most of the course, a few more beers, happy days, great day was had. So that was the practice day on the Tuesday. So back to the hotel, a few more beers with everyone, chatting about it, sharing pictures, sharing memories, their moments, and it was just really cool. Loved it. We may have gone to the shop. No, I think we didn't go. We did go to the shop and I bought a seat because you need a seat ready for Friday morning. So you buy one of these fold-up chairs and you put your business card in the back of the chair and wherever you leave it, that will stay there throughout the day. Nobody is, you know, cheeky and there's no, like, you just put it where you want it and that'll stay there. And you pretty much put it anywhere. So we bought a chair in preparation. I can't remember if that was the day that I went crazy in the shop. I think it might have been actually. So we queued up late Tuesday afternoon. In the shop we went and you get this, well, I say bag for life. It's like, it's a bag for many lives, really. It's a massive bag they give you. They know what's coming. So we're walking around and it's like, it's more of a shopping center, like a John Lewis would be, rather than like what you think a pro shop would look like. So there's different compartments. You keep moving to a different room and different exciting things turn up. So I'm like, you know, walking past and you've got the bag wide open, you're literally just scooping everything in there. So wine glasses were in there, you know, caps, everything was going in there, from umbrellas to God knows what. Umbrella, there's a funny story coming up, we'll tell you about that. So then you go to the merchandising and for me that was the best merchandising I've ever seen. So there was a counter, above the counter there was 30 mannequins with 30 different tops on, so all different colors or different types of brands. So you'd sort of look at it and say, and then go to the lady and say, "I'll have number 7 in medium, please." Or I think I was getting small because I'm actually a medium in the UK, just about. So you just literally pick and there's no price on it and you don't care, you're not thinking about price at that time. So, you know, 4 or 5 tops later and wine glasses and mugs and I don't know. I can't remember everything I had. But I remember thinking, okay, my bag's quite full now. And I'm seeing Tim and buying clothes for Esme. So, you know, it was just everything. Tim had to, one of the guys on the trip, Phil Bull, asked Tim to buy him a umbrella. So Tim goes, "Yeah, no problem. I'll buy you an umbrella." So we get to the till and you're still filling up your bag with like ball markers and flags. And then like, as soon as you queue up, I started going, "Oh, right, I've got to pay for this." Crikey. Okay. And I didn't sort of think about that. And I'm like trying to look at it and think, "Oh my God, how much is this going to be?" So we get to the end of the till and she's scanning them through and they're very pleasant and chatting away. And I'm trying to talk to them, but at the same time thinking, Christ, have I got enough money here to pay for all this? It'd be embarrassing if I have to go and put it all back. So, and then I'm also thinking, I better not put all of this on one, you know, on our joint account with Catherine, because she'll go mad if. So anyway, it comes up to 900 quid. So I'm like, oh my God. So I said, can I put on two payments up? They put 450 on one card and 450 on the other. So Catherine didn't know about that. Now, I've just said that on here. She might listen and figure that out. But she thinks I've only spent 450 quid in the shop. Anyway, so we got all our stuff and the shop. Like, I can't remember ever spending 900 quid in a shop. So that was just crazy. So bagging them up, we looked at seeing how if we could send them home by a post. And Tim queued up for 5 minutes to see if he can send it back by FedEx. But I think that was going to cost about 2.5 grand. So we decided not to do that. So then we come out and it was probably, we probably had another 3-4 hours perhaps with the stuff. And I always remember Tim having to walk around with Phil Bull's umbrella all day and getting a bit annoyed because he couldn't find Phil. Anyway, so we went home back to the hotel. Then the Friday came. So the Thursday night, you know, we played golf on the Thursday. We got all excited. We saw a bit on telly, and the next day we were going. So bright and early, I think it might have been even a 5:30 start, a little bit hungover probably, an hour drive to the course, got there early, got to the gates. And if I remember rightly, the gates open at 7. I think we got there at, I think maybe the gates open at 8 and we got there at 7, something like that. So we were there and it was a little bit cold and dark still, obviously. So we're at the gates. There's a sheriff there and we were about 7th row behind. So there was probably 30 people in the queue before us Friday morning. Obviously, everyone gets there early to go and put their chair in the right place. So then that's where it is for the rest of the day. So, yeah, we're there in the queue and, you know, the excitement is building and the sheriff sort of, then they go, right, the gate's open. The sheriff says, please stand still. And everyone's like, right. The sheriff's like, no running. Okay. So we're marched in then behind this sheriff. So he's marching in and we're all marching behind him. Like excitement levels going through the roof now. So it's like 300 meters walking behind this sheriff, like buzzing, like people jostling for places. So again, that was quite a long process getting through security and then getting into the grounds. As soon as you get into the grounds, the gates open and obviously you can't run, but you want to walk as fast as you can to go and put your chair in that place. So we discussed that we were going to put our chairs on the 10th tee. Everyone heads down to, Amen Corner. And we just thought, right, let's get somewhere where it's not too far away, but also we'll be no one else will think of that place. So we were literally on the 10th tee. And I would say the tee box was a meter away from us. We were literally on the 10th tee, 1 meter away. So I think there's about 8 or 10 of us who had our seats lined up right exactly where they're going to put the, where they were going to tee off. So chairs went down. Then I think we went for a coffee. I always remember the first tee off. So again, we were on the first tee and it was, I can't remember who was playing with Sandy Lyle, but Sandy Lyle was there and he actually shot level par the first day. So he's not doing too bad, the old boy. So he walks off the first tee and a few of us there, we shouted, come on, Sandy. He looks over like surprised and he goes, Christ, I didn't know I had any fans left. Thank you, boys. You have a good day. Cheers, Sandy. See you later. So off he went. And that was quite a funny moment because, you know, past champion and poor bugger, nobody's there watching him, are they? Because, well, I think he might have made the cut, you know. But anyway, so we got CMT off. And then a few other, I think about the fourth group out then, or the third group was Poulter, Molinari, and somebody else. So we decided we're going to follow them for the front nine and then sit on the 10th tee. So we followed them for the front nine. Great golf. Molinari was just unbelievable. Putting. Oh, Phil Kenyon has worked his magic there. He just rolls the thing so pure. Poulter's arrogance, in a nice way arrogant, that he's just so self-confident. Terry Mundy on his bag, doing a great job. So we watched them through the front nine. a couple of beers. And then we got, it was a nice warm day, remember that. Then we got, they obviously got to the ninth. The food, let's talk about food, because the food there is amazing. Also, the price of beer and food is unbelievable. I think a beer was $3, and then you have like, I don't know, I love this barbecue chicken bap thing, which was like £3 or £2, sausage, or and then like a pimento ham, pimento sandwich is like this egg, it's cheese, sorry, it's not, it's like, it looks like egg, but it's actually cheese. Nothing special, but it's famous in Augustus. You had to have one of them. So like, because the food is so cheap, you'd eat so much. And there were so many of these refreshment places. What are they called? Not refreshment places. Anyway, that'll come to me maybe. I want to say begins with C. Anyway, so the food was amazing. Like, and the beer was great. Ice cream sandwich we had, which is like ice cream in a muffin. Few other bits as well. I'm trying to think. Arnold Palmer maybe was at the soft drink. I don't think we had many soft drinks actually. So that was those places were unbelievable, and the service and just the efficiency of it all. But how cheap it was class. So then we walk around, we get to the tent tee, plonk ourselves down. And what was great for me, from my point of view, is the tent tee was right by the putting green. They're probably 30 yards apart. So I would sit on the tent tee, watch the group tee off. Then I would walk over to the putting green, watch the guys preparing to go out. So I would be up, watch them for 5 minutes on the putting green. Saw all the players, and then saw Tiger tee off. No, so I saw him on the putting green before he teed off the first. He was one of the last groups out, and then went back to the putting green and just kept doing that all day. We also went to the bar. So it was like bar, putting green, tent tee, putting green, tent tee, bar, toilets, putting green, tent tee. And it just kept doing that all afternoon, which was fabulous. I remember bumping into great guy John Graham, who coaches Danny Willett, and he was there, so we got had a nice chat with John Graham. Saw Phil again, it was great. So we watched everyone go through, and then the one but last group out was Tiger Woods. He was playing with, do you know what, I can't even remember. And behind, I always remember behind Tiger was Rory and Rahm. So Tiger's been my idol for, let's say, 20 years since I've ever played golf. You know, never really seen him in the flesh. So I'm like, back nine, I'm going to follow him on the Friday afternoon. He's in contention. I'm going to follow him every shot. And I was on it to go and do it. Nobody else was up for joining me. So I was like, right, let's go. Let's go. What is it? A bracelet? Oh, it's broken. Sorry. Yeah, it's broken as... Just leave me for 1 minute, will you, Ez? Do you mind? Oh, thank you. You're a good girl, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're not a good girl.
What?
What are you doing? A golf swing? Yeah. Whoosh! Good girl. So Tiger was coming, and the buzz when he started coming up, and he was like a couple under. So I think he was on good form. He was in contention there, maybe 3-4 back. So, you know, playing well, obviously, in his comeback. So, yeah, it was just magic, and everyone come onto that tent tee. All of a sudden, it was like there was like 50 deep of people, like the place all of a sudden. I reckon there was 10,000 people there, and 9,500 were following Tiger's group. Rory and Rahm behind must have had 30 people watching. So Tiger teed off, knocked it down there. And I'll talk you through every shot on that back nine because it's amazing. So he got tripped up on one hole as well. Anyway, so he plays the 10th pretty good, makes a nice solid par, tees off down 11, good shot over the trees on the right, amazing. And like I managed to see him hit every single shot, which was class. Then he hit a lovely shot in on 11. I didn't mention the 10th tee, right? Sorry, jumping back. The 10th tee down to the fairway is like 16th hole at Ross, but the whole hole is like that. It is unbelievably steep. Like, you cannot describe to anyone how steep that 10th tier is. Like, the drop-off, I almost got vertigo, stood on top of that. And it's amazing how much downhill that hole is. You cannot appreciate it on telly. It is like it is just down the biggest hill for like I think it's nearly 500 yards the hole, but it plays like a three-wood wedge because it's downhill by, 100 yards. So anyway, so Tiger plays 11. Nice par 10. Plays 11, hits a great second shot into about 15 foot. And we get down to by the 11th, 12th tee there. Bump into Steve White. Have a beer with him. And then buzzing, like the place is crazy busy. Anyway, Tiger knocks in this 15-foot putt. The cheers, the emotion, everyone just goes absolutely wild. Like, you're bear-hugging Americans. Like, some of them are throwing their beers up in the air. It's like a party. It's unbelievable, the roar from just holding that putt. So then he gets onto the 12th tee and the noise and the atmosphere. There's, like, so many people. There's probably, like, 100-yard space there where there's all these people. Unbelievable, because you can't obviously get over to the 12th green. Oh, who is it, Ez? Oh, yeah, just hang up. It's only my mama calling. Good girl. So Tiger stands. So he just got birdied that hole. Then he stands there with whatever he is, 9-iron. And the pin's in the middle of the green, which is where he always hits anyway. And he's stiffed it. He's knocked it to 3 foot, 4 foot. And the crowd have just erupted. Unbelievable. Again, those two roars were just the best ever. And then as soon as he hit that shot, it was on the Lee, that's it, who is Hal Tong Lee, who was playing with, on his backswing. more lightning in the area. Please get off the premises. Please get off the premises. So, Tiger's just made two big roars and then we've got to leave. Like, so I was sort of dragging my heels a little bit, went to get another beer, went to the toilet, sort of dragging my heels, thinking, no, it's not going to come back. And one caddy walked past me and he said, it's going to be back in 10 minutes. So the sheriff's saying, like, please leave the premises. And I actually managed to sort of sneak behind a tree and sort of just stay there. So everyone else got evacuated from the place. But I was like a bit of a kid and playing fox and hounds like I was as a kid and hid and stayed on the premises. Naughty boy. So I didn't manage. I managed to walk. I got caught then and had to walk a bit. But I didn't actually have to leave the premises before they called it back on. So anyway, ran back down to see Tiger. And I was about halfway down the 13th I went because I thought, I'll be able to see him hold the putt. Anyway, he misses the putt after this half-hour delay. Oh, gutted. Then he is raining. The crowds are all gathering back around that 13th green. He knocks it on in two or just off the edge and puts it off the green. Two putt, makes birdie. And then 14, you'll remember the 14th hole. So he pulled his tee shot up there into the trees. And I was fortunate. That's where I'd walked to. So he's in the trees and I was right there where he was playing the shot and I was probably three deep, so literally like, I don't know, 2 yards away from Tiger, and he's got this and he's looking and talking to his caddy like he's going to take it on, and I'm looking like, I like to say I can see a lot of shots, but I'm looking and I don't understand how he thinks he's going to play this shot anyway. So he's talking to his caddy and there he goes. So hits the ball, obviously people scatter, start running, and you'll remember the marshal ran across him to stop us crowd from running forward to, I don't know, maybe cuddle or kiss Tiger. And he slips and he sly tackles Tiger and takes him out in the ankle. So you remember he got there and he slid tackle him there. So, unfortunately, I'm just saying that this has only got, I can only record 30 minutes and it's 29 minutes, but we're getting to the end. So obviously watched him all the way to the end, got to the 18th green. Who was there? Tim and Jerry and the boys. Obviously, we've had a few beers. Great to see them. Tiger holds out for birdie, shoots four under for that back nine. Crowd are wild. He walks off the green and I'm like, go, Tiger. I'm sure he looks at me and gives me a little nod. And I'm like, yep, that'll do. That'll do. That for me was just like the best day of my life. for a golf point of view, the birth of this little one was probably the best day of my life, but that's certainly up then. Just a special day, special memories. Remember it for the rest of my life. And hopefully you've enjoyed this recording. Thank you very much for listening.